But just coming to the issue of Siim Satira, which last week announced its decision to suspend all non-profit making productions after June 17th. Father Pat O'Hearn, the founder of Siim Satira, the National Folk Theatre, is quoted as saying that it is a sad day for Tralee and County Kerry, and has expressed his shock at the decision. Well, we stay on this topic, and my next guest on this is Dr. Susan Motherway. She's a lecturer at MTU Kerry. She's an author. She actually wrote a book about the history of Siimsa, and she's also an ethnomusicologist. She has had in the past very deep connections to Siim Satira since she was very young. She first starts by introducing herself.
I'm a concertina player. My mum was a singer in ballad groups around Tralee town, and I suppose I picked up a love for kind of folk music, and so my neighbour Michelle O'Sullivan was living near me. She was a concertina player and she was involved in Siimsa, and so I was aware of Siimsa, and one day I met Pat O'Hearn and he invited me to be trained out in Fuinneog out near Listowel, and I fell in love with everything that was happening there, being exposed to the dance and the singing and even the mime and learning the tunes. I think probably being part of a group was fabulous rather than learning an instrument by itself. And then I moved into the theatre at a wonderful time around 1991 when the theatre was being built and a new show was being formed. And I saw all of the experimentation going on with contemporary dance with Anne-Marie Courtney. And, you know, I suppose the bug was there. And then I moved on from that and got a wonderful chance to perform in the National Concert Hall with Micheál O'Sullivan. The company had been doing a work called Between Worlds, and I met Mel Mercer, and I suppose they told me I needed to be in a career in music, and I believed them. And I suppose the love just continued, and seeing the experimentation and innovation all around me, I just continued into that world.
And how important do you think Siim Satira, the National Folk Theatre of Ireland, has been to Tralee, to Kerry, to this country as a whole?
I suppose, and the first thing is it's probably its training. And I suppose there was a question there recently where we were trying to figure out how many people actually have gone through the doors of, you know, of the training centres. And we can say that we are definitely impacting in about 1,000 kids in the area, you know, and some of those people have really gone on to have great careers. Even if I might mention the Tralee lady, Paula Murray, who is performing, you know, opera at the, you know, professional level internationally, you know, came through the ranks of Siimsa. And that's just a testimony of the experience that all of the kids got. But apart from that, I suppose Siimsa was developed at a time, you know, when there was a need for to put money back into the economy in the rural areas, and, you know, built around with the same idea of Bunratty, and that, you know, folk parks, it focused on folk culture, and it provided a centre where tourists in the region could come to and get entertainment in the evening. And around that builds tourism, and, you know, the impact that that has done to the local economy, you know, can't be erased. It has been fantastic for Tralee town. Now, Tralee town gave back, you know, they've supported them, you know, and funded the helping of the development of Staunton's Row, and, you know, they've been there for the support of the building of the Siim Satira theatre itself. But there's no doubt that Siim was pushing back, not alone in Tralee with performances, but also putting performances out to Dingle, putting performances to Killarney, and also in their training centres, which are in Fuinneog and also in Carrig and Dingle.
And what has been your most recent involvement with Siim Satira?
Oh, I suppose my direct involvement would have, you know, stopped back in about 2006, but as a performer due to family and that. But recently, I suppose Father Pat has been talking to me about going back to a thesis that I did for my master's degree, which was on folk theatre, and asked maybe that I might do some documentation on the history of the theatre. And so I started a project there back in 2017, which is to document that, and it got published there, I think in November, just last year, 2022, called Staged Folklore, the National Folk Theatre of Ireland, 1968 to 1998. And, you know, it was an amazing experience because you really got to see that in its heyday, you know, Siimsa was ahead of itself. You know, it was really out there. There was no supporting for the traditional arts from the Arts Council at that time, and it had built a system where it was completely self-sufficient. You know, it was training students free of charge during the winter and spring seasons, and then the summer season of performances was actually generating the revenue to enable it to continue and to continue to expand with new training centres and evolve the theatre as it is today.
What was your reaction then, Susan, when Shimsa Tira issued a statement last week that it was cancelling its traditional shows for, it was suspending all non-profit making productions after June the 17th as it bids to balance finances amid rising costs?
Yes, I think it has been an amazing shock. You know, I suppose, first of all, I suppose since, you know, if you go back to Riverdance and the, and, you know, the great success of that during the Celtic Tiger, you know, Riverdance evolved from the innovative work that Shimsa was doing. You know, it was a leader in traditional performance, and to see that it was going to stop performances was an awful shock. I suppose with my kind of history hat on from doing the book, I would say, you know, that there were two principles that were underlying Shimsa, and the first was training and providing training in rural communities. That was its first principle, and the second one was that it would actually present them in the Tralee Theatre as a showcase, and so all of the work of the training centres was working towards, you know, showing it to the public of Tralee and to international tourists during the summer months. So when you stop that, you hit at the very function of the company and what it was created for, and that becomes a very, very sad day, and I'm sure it's a very sad day for the artistic director Pat O'Hearn to see this happening.
And Father Pat O'Hearn, the founder, the inspiration behind Shimsa Tira, what has he said to you?
I think he you know, he, like the rest of us, I'd have to explain, Shimsa is built on a kind of a rural principle that's called mehil, where people come together and they support each other. During the farming life, that was when the hay had to come in and so on. But in Shimsa, you helped each other, you know, to learn dances, tunes and anything. So I suppose his reaction is in line with that. You know, he wanted to know really how he could help. He wanted to know where the problems were. And I think for him, I suppose the pain is that he hasn't really been told what those are. We don't really understand what has brought it to the situation. We understand that I suppose there has been a decline in what Shimsa has been doing over the years. I'll try and explain myself there, because the rural centres have already been closed down for many years now before COVID, and they centralised the training academy into Tralee. And I suppose we were then aware last summer that some of the performances, the numbers of performances were reduced. So I suppose there was a question there, is we don't know how to help, and that's the basic thing. And we know that Tralee Town and the people in the traditional music community would come and help if we knew what was wrong.
Could you not argue though, Susan, that the board and management in their statement, and we have asked them for an interview on Radio Kerry and they haven't responded yet, but their statement makes it quite clear why they feel they've had to take this decision. They said, look, they've been affected by COVID-19, challenges facing the tourism market, rising energy prices. It's costly putting on shows, and by the sounds of it, they don't seem to have, if one goes by their press release, by their statement, that they didn't have much option. They had to make this difficult decision.
I know. I suppose we would like to see that, I suppose, expertise or help comes in to turn it around. I'm sure that the board of directors there have been doing their utmost to turn things around. And I can't answer, I don't know anything about their financial situation or what is actually going on inside the building. I just, you know, for the sake of the initial vision, which was fantastic, for Tralee to have a national folk theatre in its town, you know, and the wonderful, you know, work that is being put in by the community cast for generations. You know, I suppose we are just really, really hoping that some kind of expertise can come in and help with that situation and really turn it around. You know, Sheemsa has hit rock bottom before. You know, if you go back to the 80s when there wasn't a dime in the country, you know, Sheemsa continued. It has amazing grit within it. You know, its community is really strong. And so we would, I suppose, the hope is that there is something that's there that we can, you know, get help and try and make sure that we see the summer season come back, even by small steps, and that we can get it to happen. We're quite aware that there is a problem, you know, that there's a reduction in tourism in the country. And we can look towards Coltis and its Brew Centre. And we know the facts there that they have halved their performances, and other cultural centres might be doing something similar, but they haven't stopped. And that's, I suppose, something that's very sad. And we would, you know, I have no arts administration background, but I would hope that something can happen to bring it around.
Do you think, Susan, there could have been better communication?
I think that was for perhaps Father Pat. I suppose it's the not knowing. I suppose if he had been made more aware, I don't come from that background. I don't know what we could do, but you know, it would have been, I suppose, nicer for the company and for Father Pat to have heard a little bit more.
Now, the Department of Arts have released statements to us, as have the Arts Council. The department says it's engaging with Sheemsa Tira over its future, that it's aware of the situation, and that they've every confidence that Sheemsa Tira will take appropriate decisions to secure its long-term future, and that Kerry County Council and the Arts Council are also involved in this discussion. And the Arts Council also have said that they trust that the Sheemsa Tira board will find a way of stabilising and planning a way forward. What would your response be to those statements?
Yes, and again, I think the Arts Council has provided a lot of funding to the theatre, and that's welcome, and that they would continue to support it, I suppose. And we know people are obviously working and trying their best here to turn things around. I suppose in the future, I suppose there's just a fear there that the, you know, Sheemsa Tira might become a venue instead of what it's meant to be, which is meant to be a national folk theatre. And if we go back to the original plan for that Pat O'Hearn had, it was so innovative for its time. You know, a training centre for the traditional arts, a performance centre, but a place to welcome also exhibitions of folk art and folk traditions from other countries, and exchange and engagement and innovation and, you know, experimentation. And we're not seeing that seems to have been lacking now for a while, and so we want to know that the Arts Council will look at the artistic side of Sheemsa and, you know, not just help it be a functioning venue, but bring it back into, you know, what it's meant to be as a national folk theatre. And we know that the core group themselves can do it. They just need support.
The Academy, the Sheemsa Tira Academy, remains open, and indeed there are upcoming auditions for children for the National Folk Theatre Training Academy later on this week, from Thursday and Friday, and also on Saturday. For those children who will be auditioning with dreams of becoming part of the National Folk Theatre and of Sheemsa, I mean, from how you've told your story, Susan, it's clearly life-changing for you, and it's enhanced your life and your creativity in so many ways, getting that opportunity with Sheemsa as a very, very young person.
Yes, I suppose, and that's what we'd like to see the Academy coming, and that they would get the same experience that we have gotten. You know, I suppose the experience at Sheemsa was a three-year training program, but then the actual, you know, the confidence and the experience of performing on the stage in Sheemsa, and at that stage we were performing nationally and internationally. You know, it's wonderful for upcoming performers, and we hope that they turn up to the auditions, and that, you know, we build a great cast there that the core group can pull on to put those performances out there. And we hope that they continue to audition.